Ronnie beat everybody this morning, so mark your calendar.
What?
No,
almost
beat it. Wade and Pete were here, so I missed it by just a few minutes.
I can see Pete.
It's the new, improved Ronnie.
I'm working on it.
Yesterday.
Oh, Gary.
Gary, that was so
funny.
Disgusting. That was good, wasn't it?
That was.
In the pecking order. You can get better than that, Ollie.
Well, what I was going to say seemed very appropriate to Gary's comment, but yesterday we talked about how the sin and the trespass and the shame, all the charges are blotted out. We talked about how that was done at the time of this writing. The ink that had no acid in it, so when it was written on the charges were written on the papyrus, they took a sponge and wiped it, and there was absolutely no trace. But it's almost like you, every time that you give thought to self, then the charges come back up again. And the point of it is it's not necessarily what we see, but it's what God sees. God sees that all of the charges, all of the trespass, all of the shame, he is blotted out. So when he looks at that slate, or when the accuser of the brethren, there's nothing there, except if you bring it back up again. And the whole mystery of God is that we would confess the Lord Jesus. Say the same thing. You can't say the same thing as him unless you see the same thing. And this is why this whole mystery of abandonment, of taking no thought for self, or of or about self, is so critical. Because every time you do, every time you bring time back into the equation, and you bring up all of the charges. And so it's every time you make references to self, anytime you excuse actions, you bring all of the charges back up because you haven't abandoned yourself. And that's the great tell in the cosmic poker game. And so once you begin to see this, then you automatically begin to live it. And it's let's go to Psalm 103. We're going to go traveling this morning, so get your traveling clothes on. Verse 10, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Now how far is the east from the west? It's this far. Depends on which way you're looking. This is why abandonment isn't the abandonment of self or the denial of self, taking no thought for self, isn't like some mysterious thing that you take some mental gymnastics to accomplish. It's when there is no self worth looking back at. There's nothing there. There's no. So you've abandoned yourself, and the sin is forgiven as far. The sin, the shame, the trespass are forgiven as far as the east is from the west. Well, how far is it? You got to see this. It's as near as your mouth, or as near as the direction you're looking. And so, I don't know how to say this. These aren't moral principles, or these aren't religious duties.
Words to live by.
They're not something you memorize. They're something you must live. And it's only when you are tired unto death of looking at yourself and seeing and making reference to yourself that happens. And then it's no effort. It's automatic. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we see Him, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And you look away from self. To look away from self, then it doesn't take any effort to see Jesus, because that's all you see. You see God is all and in all. You see the New Jerusalem wherever you look. But when you look at self, or bring reference to self, or make, and this is why this thing is so important, you make no reference to your past. And that reference to the past could be yesterday. Every moment is new. Does that communicate to anybody? And so the bondage is something you choose. You choose to look at yourself for some reason. You choose to give breath to yourself for some, who knows why. Let's go to Galatians 3. O foolish Galatians, O foolish whoever we are, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it yet be in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doth he do it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know you therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. Now again, you got to hear this. The gospel was preached unto Abraham. The gospel was preached unto Abel. But they rejected it. The gospel was preached unto all of the nation of Israel. They rejected it. The gospel was preached to every creature under heaven for the last 2,000 forever, and they rejected it. Why? because they love the darkness more than the light. They love the darkness area, as you heard me say so often, means twilight, the area, so you can compare. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith. But the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, or instead of us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. We've been redeemed from it. We don't have to ever go back there. This is why all the how-tos and everything you want to know, well, what shall I do about this? What shall I do about that? How do I deal with this? Every single one of those questions are of the flesh. They're of the way a thing works. That's what you desire. You desire to be under the law rather than faith. Why? For one reason only. To live by faith costs you your life. All right, Hebrews 12. To the left, Ronnie. I mean, to the right.
Yeah,
over to the right. In what chapter, Hebrews? 12. This comes after the famous faith chapter, Hebrews 11, but just go up, start in verse 36 of 11. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we are surrounded about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who for or instead of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. The throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin or striving against self. Can you see it? It's not difficult. What?
Seeing of it is only, you can only see it as him. It's like you can't see it as how I can accomplish this by this little information. You can only look unto him.
There's nothing about us then that defines us by looking at the past. Nothing. Remember, I used to get so upset with Harry because he'd always make reference to some, oh, this is, reminds me of Paris. He never did that at the end. Can you believe, can you possibly see the freedom of what it would be like to live without making any reference, I'm talking about internally, to anything that has passed this moment? You're not defining yourself by anything. There's neither bond nor free, Jew nor Greek, black or white, smart or dumb, old or young, male or female. There's no definition of self and no reference to that self. Then when that happens, then everything becomes automatic. Automatos in the Greek. It's because as we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. It's automatic. You don't have to strive and run around doing crap. What?
I'm thinking about this in this whole context of time deals of the past is either regretted or cherished or something, used, but the future is feared. And won't be able to pay my bills, gonna get old, gonna die, gonna whatever. Future's feared, past regretted. But God is in, wiped all that out. And even before you've sinned, he's aware and forgiven. But we walk in fear of it, of what might happen. And that's what I think causes cowering and the lack of freedom.
What's the line in John's song? Not worrying about the future, and I'm cut off from my past.
Yeah.
I'm changing now, at last. Not even aware of it. But all this other stuff, hasn't it gotten old? Let's go to Philippians. We are defined, this is important, we are defined only by his finished work. Period. Where does it, Philippians, chapter 3. Verse 3. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Now, the word confidence is this huge word. And it means we've been convinced by argument and experience that we have no confidence in the flesh. Now, if you can't say that, then you're still back at that, well, I'm going to believe in Jesus and me in Jesus and footsteps in the sand and all that other crap. But we've been convinced, you should be convinced. There's an abundance of evidence in your life and your experience and the scriptures that we have absolutely no reason to have any breath given to anything that we can sense. There's no confidence in anything about how we would redefine ourselves or how we would solve a problem or what we would do about something or our little opinions. It's a whole different world. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 13. I turned right to 2 Corinthians 3. Does that count for anything?
Not exactly. Two pages away.
Verse 5. I think this is the only place where it talks about examining yourself. But anyway, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. If you don't know that Jesus Christ is in you, then none of this is possible. If you think that his sacrifice is going to benefit you someday, then forget everything I've said. You won't ever hear anything anyway. It won't mean anything. There's nothing for it to stick. Like people used to say to me all the time, I forgot. How can you forget? Examine yourselves. Prove to your own selves. Know you not your own self, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. If you don't know that he's in you, I don't know what to tell you.
Don't give sleep to your own.
Yeah. Gary, you're doing it again.
I'm looking at this that whether you know it or not, he's in you. But if you don't know it, then you need to do everything you can to get there.
That's what.
But if you don't get there, that doesn't mean he's not in you. But you need to know that, or you can't walk in faith. So it's like a.
So it's impossible to please God.
Yeah. But that doesn't mean he's not in you, does it?
Of course not. But again, him being in you has no reference to you then, because it's except the kernel of wheat fall into the ground and die and abideth alone. Do you ever look at how many times in the scriptures it said that the number of the nation of the people of Israel shall be greater than this number of the kernels of sand and greater than the number of stars in the sky? But only a remnant shall be saved. Except the Lord of hosts had left us a seed, we would have been made like Sodom. Would be like Sodom and made like unto Gomorrah, is what Isaiah says. Remember, the holy mystery is that the Jerusalem which is above, the mother of us all, and each of us as sperm cells had to go into that egg to lose our identity. There's only the new. There's only the creation. The only time Paul ever spoke about himself, he said he was speaking foolishly. What Jesus did on the cross and then what happened at Pentecost trumps by 1,000,000% anything that we've ever done, any wrong we've ever done, or any hopes we've ever had, or any... I mean, it just trumps everything.
Yeah, it can't be compared.
But if you want to, there's nothing I can do. If you want to live in the lower realms and just continue to strive and try to do and try to get it right and worry about people's response to you, c'est la vie.
I read another article about this thing. They're doing experiments on the mind. They give somebody a task, like trying to remember a string of numbers for us, and hold that, so you could repeat it later. So And while your mind is doing that, it's sort of distracted. And when your mind is distracted, then you, it's like they gave them these things to evaluate, like if I get a, you know, there's some tasks to do, and I will assign, you know, Sue to go out and dig the ditch out here, whereas I'm going to sit here and keep track of it on the computer, you know, and it's like, and you see that as equal. You can figure out that I'm not treating myself better, you know. There's all kinds of reasons why this is, you know, an equal and fair thing. And when your mind is distracted, people evaluate that, what it really is, which is you're giving yourself, you know, this is not equal. You know, this is not an equal job. And it was like a little bitty, tiny picture of, you know, what our mind does all day long, which is come up with the reasons why, you know, it's okay to, you know, what I'm doing. And just, you know, the distortion of your conscious, what it's really, it's talking about the conscious mind that does that. But if you extrapolate that out to everything you think about, you know, it's perfectly clear that, you know, what we're talking about this morning is the truth.
We've been deceived.
It's not pretty.
It's all day long. Everything you're thinking is.
Again, that's why I take no thought for yourself. Of or about, for you or yours.
I was like, I think about that now while we're discussing this interesting topic, but, you know, later today I'm not going to be thinking about that. I'm going to be, you know, there I'll go, boom. But by the power of the Spirit that all this can come to you, you know, to remind you.
As long as we try to relate to God through any aspect of ourself, even prayer, then we can't escape all of the crap of our past. Let's go to Romans 4 and then we'll quit for today. Verse 3. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Now, as long as self is the subject of your sentence, and then you, by definition, you have to work. That was part of the curse. You're always working. You're either stirring up you're tilling the ground inside you to try to come up with something that's a suitable offering, just like Cain did. So there's always some work. And so even the reward of this mystery of God, it's counted as a debt. Now that's a biggie. But to him that worketh not, then it's the whole mystery of everything about you is defined only by his finished work. There's no reference to anything positive or negative in your past. This is huge. How far is your sin forgiven? As far as the east is from the west. How far is your shame forgiven? As far as the east is from the west. How far is that? Depends on which way you're looking. Boom, boom. Amen.
Yeah. It also says, you know, that as far as the heavens are above the earth, but it starts
soul on my way.
Starts right here, you know, it's like get back into it.
What's going on, Gary?
I'm thinking what you just said in terms of repentance. If there's never the turning, even with this knowledge, there's just the looking at and entertaining the knowledge and thinking, oh, I found something wonderful. Now, digging it. That turning is
it's just, as I said, it's just a philosophy.
Right.
I'm determined to speak of nothing.
That's why without the preaching of the cross, all of this is good information for the soul.
And it'll pervert it.
It will. Make a religion and get some followers and build a building.
Anybody else? Jeff? Kevin?
I'm just thinking how Harry's like the illustration of that, the monkey trap. Standing there with your hand in this thing, people are yelling at you to pull your hand out. I'm thinking, what's the point of pulling my hand out if I have to leave what I have in the trap?
You can get us a monkey trap.
That's the only answer.
Pull your hand out.
What's that old poem? There are two natures within my breast. One is cursed and one is blessed. One I love and one I hate. The one I feed will dominate. You feed it, the one you hate, by giving it any breath, any importance. Take it, big guy.